How many of you have received a handout? Raise your hand. All right, all the Baptists always are receiving handouts, so that's it. Amen. Right. Is it good to feel needed, brother? All right, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, Brother Wes, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the Sunday school hour, please. Amen. All right. Now, we've been doing the Sunday school lessons for the last month or two here now on the cults and those that believe wrong according to the Bible and covering those things. And let me preface that, as I have before, in saying this, we don't hate people. If somebody believes different than us, we don't hate them. But, you know, we believe in freedom of speech, too, and they're wrong. And we need to make sure that the Bible is our final authority. And that what we believe because the Bible says it, not because some institution or some church or some dogma or some tradition. See? We need to go by what the Bible says, period. As Martin Luther said, Scripture only. Amen? And that's our authority. Now, we've been looking at the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth, the Roman Catholic Church, according to Revelation chapter 17. She's the great whore. She's the mother of many harlots. And we've been looking at her teachings and then comparing those teachings to the Bible. And what you'll find out is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches is different than what the Bible teaches. I have a brother and a sister who are both Roman Catholics, all right? So like I said, I don't hate Roman Catholic people. I want to see them get saved. I want to see them get the truth. And the truth is in the Bible. It's not in what some institution says. And this morning we're going to be looking at, continuing with the lesson for you on Roman Catholicism and what Roman Catholicism teaches about the Mass. They also call it the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Communion, or the Blessed Sacrament. The following are Rome's positions concerning the Mass. Number one, the primacy of the Eucharist. The primacy means the primary thing. See, it's number one. Of the Eucharist. What's the Eucharist? That's the cookie and the host, right? And the golden cup, all right? Over all the other sacraments is unquestionable. You don't question it. Don't you dare question it. Why? Because they told you not to. That's all. If you're a good Catholic, you say, yes, Father. And that's it. That's how it's done, see? Unquestionable, as is also its supreme efficacy in building up the church. In other words, if there's one thing that the church needs above everything else, it's the Mass. That's the number one thing, according to the Roman Catholic Church's position. I didn't make that up. The things that I'm quoting are from their writings, not from mine, from their own writings. I got a stack of books at home this big from the Roman Catholic Church, see, with the imprimaturs of the archbishops and everything on them. That thick of books that I'm going from here. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what they teach and what they believe. And if you're a good Catholic, you're supposed to believe these things, see? Number two, the Eucharist is the summit and center of the entire Christian life. And quoting there, the General Catechetical Directory, edition 3. So you'll notice in these things, I'm quoting their material. This is what they say. In other words, according to the Roman Catholic Church, the number one thing, the summit of all things, what's the summit? That's the top. That's the top of the mountain is the summit, see? The center of all things, the primary focus, the number one thing that the Roman Catholic Church puts above everything else is the Mass, is this thing right here. Now, these are what the Roman Catholic Church teaches concerning the Mass. This is what they believe, what they teach from their own doctrine, from their own writings, these 10 things. Let's look at each of them. Number one, the Holy Eucharist is a sacrifice and the sacrament in which Christ is present and received under the appearance of bread and wine. The changing of the bread and wine into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ is known as the doctrine of transubstantiation. Number three, Holy Communion is food for the soul. Number four, all priests and bishops of the Catholic Church, through the power of the Sacrament of Holy Orders, can change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Number five, to receive the Mass, one must be baptized, sprinkled, as a Roman Catholic, be free from mortal sin, in other words, go to confession, and fast for 1 hour before partaking. The work of Christ's redemption can only be carried on by continuing to partake of the Mass. Number seven, through the words of the consecration, which the priest pronounces over the bread and wine during Mass, Christ becomes present. The bread and wine are changed, transubstantiation, into the literal body and blood of Christ. Only the appearance of bread and wine, color, taste, etc., remain. Pocket Catechism, St. Joseph's Edition, page 44. This is what they're teaching in their material. Number eight, when Christ celebrated the Lord's Supper with his disciples, he changed the bread and wine into his literal body and blood. Number nine, during the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, Christ offers himself over and over again for us as a holy sacrifice. Pocket Catechism, St. Joseph's Edition, page 45. Number 10, a person who receives the Mass receives eternal life until they lose it again. That is the official Roman Catholic teachings concerning the Mass. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to look at each of these 10 teachings concerning the Mass from the Roman Catholic Church, and then look in our Bible. And then you decide if you're going to believe what the Roman Catholic Church says or what God says. The choice is yours. I believe in freedom of religion. I'm retired military. I gave 21 and a half years of my life to defend the freedom that people have to be a Roman Catholic if they want to. I thank God I live in America. When America came over here, you know what they did? They said, we need separation of church and state. Why? Because they came from Europe. You know who ran Europe? A church. You know what church? Do they believe a separation of church and state? No, they don't. We're Baptists. We believe a separation of church and state. Amen. They believe the church ought to run the state. Dangerous position. No matter what your belief is, that's a dangerous position. Because whoever runs the thing gets to decide how everybody else is going to live. That's not what God wants. God's for free will. God is for free will. He gives you free will so that you decide. You have a free will to decide if you want to believe what the Roman Catholic Church teaches or what God teaches from His Holy Scriptures. The choice is yours. But let's look and compare the two. Then you can make up your own mind. Number one, the Holy Eucharist is a sacrifice and the sacrament in which Christ is present and received under the appearance of bread and wine. Now, if you look in two places, John 1 and Galatians 3. If you're not familiar with the Holy Bible, that's okay. Keep coming here. We'll get you familiar with it. That's the church's job. Amen. We're going to get you familiar with the Bible. You need to be. Jesus Christ said, you make the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. You know why a lot of people don't know where the Bible is, or don't have one, or don't read it, or don't know where the books in the Bible are, and you know what's going on? They don't care about what God said. That's all. If you cared about what God said, you'd find out. Period. Remember over there in the book of Revelation where John hears those seven thunders, and he's about to write, and God says, John, don't write what the seven thunders uttered. Remember that? You know why God told John not to write those things? Because he didn't want you to know it. You know why he wrote in the Bible what he did write? Because he does want you to know it. Simple. Look in John chapter 1 and verse 12. Starting at verse 11 for the context. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that drink the wine and eat the wafer. No, even to them that do what? Believe. How do you receive Jesus Christ? Do you receive Jesus Christ by drinking fermented liquor and eating a round wafer that somebody holds up and says, my Lord and my God, after he takes it out of a little tabernacle thing back here? And he takes it and he holds it up and says, my Lord and my God. What's his God? That's what he says. That's what he means. See? You say, well, it's just a symbol. You don't understand the doctrine of transubstantiation. When he says, my Lord and my God, you are eating God. That is the Mass. That's what they teach. That's what they believe. Nonsense. That's what they believe. I know it's nonsense, and so do you. But that's what they believe. And you're not a good Catholic if you don't believe that. You say, that's just your... I'll give you their writings. How many of you have ever heard of the word transubstantiation? What does it mean? The bread is no longer bread. And if you don't believe that, you're not a good Catholic. If you don't believe that, you're going to hell, according to what the Catholic Church teaches. So I guess we're all going to hell. No, I received Jesus Christ. Not in my gut. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. Whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things. Amen. Look over there in Galatians chapter 3. You know how some people are? They're ignorant. And when you're not as ignorant as they are, they get mad at you for not being as ignorant as they are. The while? Good night. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit, how? By the works of the law, or by what? The hearing of faith. When you believe on the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, you receive him into your heart, he saves your soul. Amen. You don't receive him by eating him. You receive him by believing on him. Now, that's what the Bible teaches, but you're free to believe what you want. Amen. You're free to believe what you want. Number two. So if I said that, why would you get mad? Number two, the changing of the bread and wine into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ is known as the doctrine of transubstantiation. Look in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. I just kind of quoted a little bit of it for you. What does it say? Mark them. Am I right? Is that how it starts out? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They're not going to deceive you by doing what I'm doing. They're going to deceive you by getting up there and saying, amen. 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 The Lord is in his holy temple.
Let all the earth be.
You ever go in one of those things?
Na 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 na.
Man, get out there and just blow your brains out for crying out loud. How depressing. You think those people know they have eternal life? I know I have it. I don't care what you think about me, I'm going to heaven. So I don't care what you think about me. I care what God thinks about me. All I care about is what Jesus thinks about me. I'm going to heaven. I got Jesus in my heart. I'm saved. Amen. And I didn't get saved by eating Jesus. Amen. I say, what is that? That's wrong doctrine. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We all having a good time this morning? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the bread and wine, no, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. What's good doctrine? It's the words of God. Where's your doctrine coming from? Is it coming from the Word of God or from an organization? Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? The Romans. Why would you think that would be the headquarter of his church? Now you look at us and you think we're strange. Okay. I'm trying to be nice. Look at chapter 6. See, you don't sound very nice to me. Well, I'm trying to be. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. You're going to drink liquor and call it the blood of Jesus and think that's godly? You're a pervert. You're welcome. That's just a fact. What would you call it? You think that's normal? Verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing. You're ignorant. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings. What is an evil surmising? You'd actually come to the point where you would think that liquor could be Jesus' blood. That's an evil surmising. You understand? A surmising is something you surmise from your imagination, something you come to a conclusion of. By seeing and reading this, and we're taking all these words out of context and interpreting it the way we want, and what you come up with is evil surmisings according to the Bible. Amen. You're going to end up in a mess, which is exactly what they do. All right, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, number 3. Holy Communion is food for the soul. What is the purpose of partaking of bread and, listen, new wine, grape juice, which is what we do. You see this right here? This is where we do the Lord's Supper. You know what we do? We take unleavened bread and unleavened wine. You know what leaven is? It's corruption. You know how wine becomes fermented? Fermented? You put leaven in it. You put yeast in it. You corrupt it. See? You know how bread rises? You put leaven in it. You put yeast in it. And it's corrupted. See? What we eat is not corruptible. What we eat hasn't been corrupted. There's no leaven in it. It's bread and wine uncorrupted. And what the reason we do it is the reason that the Bible says to do it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do, why? It's a memorial. We do it to remember what our Lord did for us. Look in verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it. Why? In remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death when? Till he come. The reason we do the Lord's Supper is to remember Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection until he comes back to get us. Now, when's the last time you've seen a Catholic Mass where they talked about Jesus coming back? Huh? That's supposed to be the purpose for it. It's a memorial. Do you know what memorial means? To remember. See? Now, we have Memorial Day. It's a holiday we celebrate in this country. Do you know what we do at Memorial Day? We remember what many of the soldiers have done for us and the sacrifice that they made. Right? Do we do that by calling up a few soldiers and killing them to remember their sacrifice? You know what sacrament means? You know what they believe? They believe it's a continual sacrifice. When you celebrate the Mass, you're sacrificing Jesus again, every day. Now, I didn't say I believe that. That's what they believe. They have a perfect right to believe that. But they're wrong. And I have a perfect right to say that. You believe that, don't you? You're an American, aren't you? Good. Verse 4. All right, number 4. All priests and bishops of the Catholic Church, through the power of the sacrament of holy orders, can change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. You believe that? Does the Bible teach that? Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. Let's see what the Bible has to say about the priests. Hebrews 10 and verse 11. And every priest standeth daily. You know how often they do the Mass in the Roman Catholic Church? Every day. Every day. Daily. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. This is how it goes. Listen, listen. Are you listening? Listen. Do I have your attention? Listen. If somebody could teach you that you have to go to a particular person to get your sins forgiven, then they have control over you, don't they? Now, there is someone you do need to go to get your sins forgiven. And he does want control over you. But it's not a man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. Look at that next verse. But this man, after he had offered what? One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's good. Thank God. Look over there in chapter 8. Hebrews 8. And verse number 4. Why would you want to be a priest? Jesus wouldn't want it. Hebrews 8 and verse 4. For if he were on earth, if Jesus was here right now, you know what he said? He should not be a priest. He wouldn't want to be a priest. Why? What do the priests do? Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, because it's Old Testament. The priests were only in the Old Testament. And they offered a sacrifice every day in the Old Testament. But the Bible says if Jesus were here today, he wouldn't want to be a priest. Because he'd be having to go back under the law. He'd be having to go back under the Old Testament. He'd be having to go back before what he did on the cross. You don't need any sacrifices anymore. There's been one sacrifice for sins forever. And behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And anybody that perverts that and corrupts that is of Satan. They're out to rip you off of your soul and take you to hell. Amen. We don't want you to go there. We want to see you get saved. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood. Who's that? If you're a believer, you are. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. Why? Because we can all make sacrifices to God. But they're spiritual. They're spiritual sacrifices. What? Thanksgiving. Praising God, worshiping Him, giving for Him, surrendering our hearts to Him. Have you made those sacrifices to Jesus Christ? Those are the sacrifices that please God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. On you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Who's the priests? You are. What's this idea of you got to have a select few that can change this stuff and make it abracadabra, speak some foreign language words over it, and change it into the literal blood and body of Christ, so then you can get it and receive eternal life until you lose it? Question, how do you lose it? Think about it. How do you lose what you eat? That's perverted. That's disgusting. I love Jesus Christ. Do you? And that's what they're doing to your Savior, and it don't bother you? You don't love Him, you faker, you liar. Amen. And have you got kids? Suppose I said, we're going to eat one of your kids today. What do you think God thinks about that? Number five, to receive the Mass, one must be baptized. In other words, you have to be a Roman Catholic. Be free from mortal sin. In other words, go to confession, go to some phone booth, and tell some guy that's just been committing some acts with a little boy that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you. You cannot get eternal life unless you're a Roman Catholic. That's what they just said. The only way to get eternal life is to take the Mass. Right? That's what they teach. But the only way you can partake of the Mass is what? To be a Roman Catholic. If I went to a Roman Catholic church, I couldn't take of the Mass. I'm not allowed. Until I become a Roman Catholic. It has no efficacy, as they would say. We have any former Roman Catholics in here? Just that a question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many of you agree with what I just said? You've been there? You know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand. All right. Good. You all been around? I'm not just talking. Listen, I'm from Philadelphia. Go kid somebody else. I never heard the gospel until I got out of there and got in the army, man. You ain't going to hear it much up in them parts, folks. Are you? Why do you think that is? Look in John chapter 3. In other words, you have to join a particular church and go by their things to get eternal life. Now, we'd love for you to join our church. But if you don't, you can still have eternal life. We don't have any hold on you. We're not a cult. That's what every cult does. You understand? What every cult does is say is, you have to be under our subjection and our submission. And if you're not, you're taking a chance of going to hell. You could come down here today, if the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of your wicked heart, you could come down here today and say, God, I'm sorry for being a sinner. I'm sorry for all my wickedness. I'm vile. I'm not worthy. But Lord, if you would, please have mercy on me and save my soul for Jesus' sake. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. And He'll come into your heart and give you eternal life. And you can walk out those doors and never come back to this church again, and you have eternal life. We don't have any hold on you. But there, you have to keep taking it. And keep being good. And stay in good status with the church. Somebody's lying. You choose. Free country. Now, if I was saying this, you understand, back in the 1300s, I couldn't have said it without dying. You ever heard of John Huss? How many of you are aware of John Wycliffe? You ever heard of Martin Luther? The only reason he lived is because he had some princes and some kings within his providence that looked out for him and protected him. You know why? Because somebody was out to kill him. You know who it was? Religious Christian people. You know who crucified Christ? Good religious people. I know your kind. You ain't fooling me for a minute. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 15. Somebody quote that for me. Whoever does what? Believes in Him. Shall have what? Eternal life. Wait, anything there about the Mass? Wait a minute. I should change that. Anything in there about the Mass? Y'all are a mess. 1 Corinthians 11. Look back there. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You're supposed to go to the priest and confess your sins before you do it? No, you're supposed to examine yourself. You take care of the thing yourself. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't have to go to somebody else and ask Him to forgive me my sins unless I've sinned against that person. See? That's the idea. What does it say? Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See? When we partake of it, we confess our sins to God, not to a man. And then we partake of it. Number six, the work of Christ's redemption can only be carried on by continuing to partake of the Mass. What does that mean? You're supposed to take the Mass all the time. Now, you can actually be, according to their own doctrine, whether they do it or not, probably not, because they need all the members they can get. But according to their own doctrine, you have to do it every Easter. At least once a year, you have to do it. You have to partake of the Mass. But you're supposed to partake of it as much as possible. And when you do that, you get eternal life.
That just shows you the kind of people that, honestly, you're trying to, you try to be compassionate, you try to deal with them. But it's hard. You're talking with people that think they can get eternal life and then don't have eternal life anymore. Does anybody know what the word eternal means? Okay. How could you have something eternal and then it stop if it was eternal? I'm trying to help you. Now, if you watch a lot of television, and if you've been to college, it'll get difficult. Because it becomes more and more harder to think. They're doing that to you on purpose. You understand that? That's by design. America is a country that has stopped thinking. There's another word for think. It's called muse. That's the word muse means to think. America isn't musing. America is being amused. You know what amuse means? Don't think. And so when you think, and you're around a bunch of people that don't think, they think because they can't think, that you're crazy. I think. Hebrews chapter 10. Is this where we're at? Hebrews chapter 10. Number 6, the work of Christ's redemption can only be carried on by continuing to partake of the Mass. In other words, you can only continue to be saved if you continue to be a Catholic and if you continue to partake of the Mass. Now, let me say this right now before we go any further. I believe there's people that are Roman Catholics in the Roman Catholic Church that are saved and going to heaven. You understand? But they're saved in spite of what their church teaches. Right? In other words, they got saved, they heard a preacher on the radio, or they went to some other church sometime or something, and they asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. But they're still in bondage. And they don't want to make mom and dad or their brother or sister or somebody upset. And so they stay in it. I understand that. Okay? So I'm not saying that if you go to the Roman Catholic Church, you can't be. I believe you can have eternal life and be in the Roman Catholic Church. They don't have the same grace with us. Not according to their teachings. Have you read their teachings? I have. I've read their teachings. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. Y'all got it? And look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, huh? Once. 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 Once for all. Now, you know how many times once is? That's a deep doctrine of the faith. How many times are you supposed to receive Jesus Christ? Once. What happens when you receive Jesus Christ once? You receive eternal life. You ever done that? If you did it, you're happy right now. You're rejoicing right now. You're actually enjoying this teaching this morning. Because who else would? Look at verse 14. For by one offering, he, glory to God, hath perfected forever. You know what you're looking at up here? You're looking at somebody that's been perfected forever. Now that takes faith. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. But according to the Word of God, you know what Jesus did for me when He saved me? He made me perfect forever. You know why I'm getting to heaven? There's only one thing that can get into heaven. You know what's in heaven? Perfection. You know what I need? I needed somebody that could do something for me I could never do for myself. If you think you can earn your way to heaven, you must think you're perfect. I don't. I'm a mess. We got any sinners in here? Anybody a sinner? We got any sinners? You know who Christ came to save? He came to save sinners. You know what's going to be in, you know who's going to be in heaven? Just a bunch of sinners. But they've been perfected by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Thank God. That's what we're talking about. See. Verse 18. Now, where remission of these is, there is what? No more offering for sin. Then what are they doing? Why? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there is. You couldn't do anything else after what Jesus did for you. How could you improve on Jesus Christ? How could you improve on Calvary? I guess they believe they can. Because they're much more humble than us. I'll let that one soak in. John chapter 6. You have to be a rather humble fellow to think you can improve on what Jesus Christ did. John chapter 6. Next teaching, verse number 7. Through the words of the consecration, which the priest pronounces over the bread and wine during Mass. Listen, I'm quoting. That is a quote from their catechism, from their material. You understand? I'm not making this up. That is a quote from their writings. Through the words of the consecration, which the priest pronounces over the bread and wine during Mass, Christ becomes present. The bread and wine are changed, doctrine of transubstantiation, into the literal body and blood of Christ. Only the appearances of bread and wine, the color, the taste, etc., remain. In other words, the priest says that over, he says it's now the literal blood, but you have some sense, and you eat it, and you say, you know what, it still tastes like bread. Or you drink the cup, you say, you know, it still tastes like wine. It may. Don't let that deceive you. Now listen, I got some, if you believe that, I got some good property to sell you. Come see me after service. Honest to God. Say, well, nobody would believe that. You know there's over 1 billion Catholics in the world. See? But you know what? Most of them, honestly, most of them, they don't even know what their own church teaches. They've just been brought up in it, or they married into it, or whatever. They don't even know what their own church really teaches. They don't. But that's what they teach. You know what they're teaching? Cannibalism. Think about it. That's their teaching. It's not mine. That's what they teach. They teach to go to heaven, you must commit a cannibalistic act. Every day, I guess. Until you lose it. And you'll tell people that? They'll get mad at you for telling them. Instead of the mad at the people that are teaching something that perverted. Say, what is that? That's the devil. Only the devil can work in somebody's mind and heart like that. Only the devil. And get somebody to think that's a good thing. Look in John chapter 6. Now, this is Jesus' teaching. And you can see how they get messed up. Because Jesus tried to mess them up on purpose. You know how Jesus Christ will mess you up? With the Bible. It's a two-edged sword. It'll cut you to heal you. Or it'll cut you to damn you. Depending on your heart. John chapter 6. Look with me in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Well, what did he just say? What did he just say? He said, you got to eat me and you got to drink me. Right? He did say that, didn't he? All right, so that's where they're going to run you to. See, it says in the Bible right there. Now, whenever anybody does that, what you need to do is keep reading. Read everything in the context. It'll help you. Keep going. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Well, there you have it. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna. Now, did you get that? And are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I mean, that's rough. Jesus is coming to them Jews and telling them they need to drink blood. Listen, you realize that was forbidden under the Levitical law. We'll look at that in a minute, too. Many, therefore, as his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, don't this offend you? Has something I said here this morning offended you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the, help me out, Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth what? Nothing. The, help me out with that next word. What? I couldn't hear you. Words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. Now, you think Jesus was talking about literally eating his body and flesh? Or was he talking spiritually? I sure hope he was talking spiritually. Look back there. Did you catch that? Look at verse 57 again. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. Was Jesus eating the Father's flesh? Or was he talking spiritually? The context will show you. What does the context show you? It's spiritual. It's not carnal. The partaking that he's talking of is a spiritual partaking, not a physical. And the amazing thing about it is just about everywhere when you come to the Bible, the Roman Catholic Church will spiritualize and not take it literally. And the one place Jesus Christ is talking spiritually and not literally, they take it literally. And the one place he's talking spiritually and they take literally is the one place where they say you have to be a cannibal to have eternal life. And they don't see anything wrong with that. Do you see something wrong with that? I hope you do. I hope you do. If not, I'll pray for you. If you'll look in three places, Genesis 9:4, Leviticus 7:10-14, Acts 15:20, you know what those things teach you? Before the law, it is forbidden to drink blood. During the law, it is forbidden to drink blood, there in Leviticus 17. Acts 15, after the law, in the church, is forbidden to drink blood. Any dispensation, any time, God's people have always been forbidden to drink of literal blood. Not even calf's blood or goat's blood. See? You're not supposed to drink any blood. It's the life of the flesh. It's a demonic thing. That's what they do in Satan worshiping. Now, I'm trying to help you this morning, and I know you're... I know. Listen, I understand. You've been... Maybe some of you have been taught some things, and it's hard to get a hold of this. I understand that. But would you, for a second, listen to this? Just think about it. I'm trying to help you. But just think about this. If I said, we're going to go to a religious service today,
We're going to have a mass. We're going to have candles and wear robes and dress in black and have incense and drink blood and do chants. What would you think I was inviting you to? Jesus Christ has a bride, the church. The devil, who wants to be Jesus Christ, has a bride. Revelation 17 says who she is. She is a city on seven hills who reigns over the kings of the earth. And in her was found the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. God help you to see the truth this morning concerning this thing. Now, we'll pick it up next week. We'll conclude this. We'll go into this after this. We'll look in Roman Catholics and their beliefs concerning the worshiping of Mary. All right, how many of you believe the Bible from cover to cover? Raise your hand. Isn't it good to have an authority from God instead of just man, instead of just a church? Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Brother Wayne, close us in prayer, please, and we'll take a break before the service.